This is KCUR 89.3. State House Blend is a weekly podcast that investigates the Kansas legislature and the Missouri General Assembly.
Introduce yourself, please.
I'm Stephanie Clayton, second term Kansas State Representative for the lovely 19th House District.
This is a very familiar voice. We're going to explore that, but first the open. This is State House Blend. I'm Sam Zeff.
And I'm Brian Ellison. We're using coffee
and donuts
to better understand the legislatures on both sides of the state line,
the issues and the people in Topeka
and Jeff City. Here we go.
And joining Stephanie and me this morning in the KCUR production studio is David Jordan from Lawrence. Thanks for driving over.
Thanks for having me.
And my colleague Steve Votbrock from The Pitch. Thanks for coming on and being on the show again.
Thanks for having me on.
First, we take our first trip around the table. And David Jordan, your first your thought or your question for Stephanie.
I think it's really disheartening to see a debate about terms when kids aren't getting the resources they need, teachers aren't getting the resources they need, and then we're seeing topics like non-academic skills being raised by the Department of Education as a distraction, or merit pay. So, I mean, I think how do we keep the debate on funding for the classroom?
This is quite possibly one of the most multifaceted problems that we deal with in Kansas. This is why we all fight. This is why we have so many disagreements, because education is not just education. I consider the Shawnee Mission School District to be the number one economic development tool for the people in my legislative district. No one is going to move here if we have bad schools. End of sentence. That is absolutely the way that things work. Now, the real question here is that you have all of these people with competing ideas trying to determine what makes a good education. My idea of a suitable education is I've got pretty high standards, and that's the way that I've always wanted it for my children and for children in not only in my district, but in Kansas, because we all benefit when our students are well educated. But for some people, a suitable education is one single tallow candle and a slate. Maybe a piece of chalk, maybe not. Maybe they should just go make that themselves, you know. So you have to reconcile all of these different understandings of what it means for a suitable education. As we go forward and as we've dealt with some of the various court cases, and I'm not inclined to fight with the courts. I'm inclined to believe that there are three branches of government, not two. And as such, when they offer suggestions, for instance, when in one of their opinions regarding, I believe it was the part of the Gannon case, they set up the Rose standards as sort of a guideline. This almost goes with that survey that talked more about soft skills.
I want to get Steve back in, but you threw out two names there. I just want to do a quick little explanation. Gannon is the Supreme Court case that we've been talking about school funding, and there's already been briefs on that. And we're going to hear oral arguments later on in the fall. The Rose standards, Gannon and Rose sounds like a law firm. The Rose standards are what the Kansas Supreme Court decided on about how you decide on what a quality education is. That springs out of an old court case in Kentucky. So there is your nerdy education lesson of the day. So let's get to merit pay, which falls really deeply into what I think could be an ugly political fight. And as we saw, this was an interview that Governor Brownback gave to the AP. So, Steve, I'm wondering what your thoughts were when you read that story.
Well, the thing I'm struck by when it comes to the discussion about merit pay is, you see in that interview, he references private sector, and that, you know, merit pay in education would reflect how realities work in the private sector. The better you work, the better opportunity you have for bonuses and pay increases. But government, which school is in school districts and education really is separate and different from the private sector. And when it comes to teachers, there's a lot of factors that can affect student performance and outcome beyond just what the teacher does. So, for instance, if I'm a middle manager in a company, I can make hiring and firing decisions. I can get my staff, if you will, and I can control my destiny a bit better as an employer. as a teacher, you don't really pick your students. You get your students and you can work with them. But there's so many different factors that I don't know how well thought out the merit pay thing is going to be. And I know that it's a discussion that's happening beyond just Kansas. It's happening in other places. I just wonder how well thought out the and Brownback was short on details from what I read about how it would
detail is how are we going to work merit pay into the new school funding formula as they start to work on that.
I think that the concept of merit pay is politically brilliant, but not for a positive reason. Because people in general, we're all busy. We like to hear we like things to be simplified. And so if we say, well, you know, there are good teachers and bad teachers and we're going to pay the good teachers more. Oh, yeah, that sounds great, doesn't it? But as you've stated, teachers cannot choose their students. And this doesn't necessarily mean it's not really based on socioeconomic status either, because I know plenty of wealthy parents who will let their kids stay up all night with their iPads and throw Doritos at them and not go over their homework with them because they're too busy doing other things and they've got all the money in the world and they're not being good parents to educate their children. Then there are children who are poor, who go to school, who are literally starving, and you cannot do algebra when you're hungry. I've proven this to be true, by the way, back in college. So you run into those elements, but oh, isn't it convenient to say, let's implement merit pay? It is something that we absolutely know cannot be properly implemented. It's something we know that will make schools fail. And then, my goodness, how convenient. If these schools are failing, then why should we fund them? So I see what they're doing there. I'm on to them. I know what's happening. But they're trying to snow the public, and basically they're trying to break public education and then declare it broken.
You've been a champion for transparency efforts as well as a great tweeter to keep us updated on social media, which has been wonderful.
She is one hell of a tweeter, isn't she?
Thanks, guys.
I know you had a great transparency bill about recording all committee hearings. Are there other measures that might be helpful to help, you know, open up the windows and let some light in for the rest of Kansans?
Well, there is a special committee that I wasn't placed on, but it still has a lot of good legislators that are working and looking at more transparency initiatives. Honestly, there are no real standards set for what is subject to open records, what isn't. And so because things are nebulous, you have people who are really trying to do the right thing who end up breaking the rules. You have people who have concerns about what is searchable and what isn't. Go take a look at Kansas's revenue numbers, and then, you know, that's where we run into the problem. You are, as constituents, are owed a transparent government, but it's hard to keep up. It's expensive to do. And so that's part of the reason why you see a lot of these things not getting passed. They'll get shot down because they're too expensive. The Transparency Act, which I authored and which was, co-driven by my state senator, Senator Kay Wolf, she gets it passed unanimously on the Senate floor every time, and then it won't even be brought above what we call colloquially the line in the House because it costs too much. But then we'll run bills that have a fiscal note of like $500,000. And like, those bills are okay. But yeah, no.
All right. We have to leave it there. David Jordan from Lawrence, thanks for coming over. Great pleasure to have you. My colleague and friend Steve Vakrot from The Pitch. I enjoy your work. And I am glad you're here in Kansas City as a reporter.
Thank you.
Stephanie, as you probably know better than anybody that we've ever had in here, this is where we turn over the podcast to you for your walk-off song.
Oh, it's always been running through my mind as I work. So often my friends from college will say, gosh, is it like House of Cards up there? And I'll say no, because one of their suits that the women that wear would take me several years of my legislative pay to purchase. It is nothing like House of Cards. I tell them it's more like Game of Thrones. Our legislative session usually traditionally begins the second Monday in January. So I'll just leave you with the theme song and remind you that winter is coming.
And thus it shall be. State House Blend is produced by Matt Hodapp. That's it for State House Blend this week. I'll see you next time.
That was an excerpt from State House Blend, a podcast from KCUR 89.3 about the Kansas Legislature and the Missouri General Assembly. You can listen to the full episode by subscribing on iTunes or at kcur.org/statehouseblend.